So even if the second woman actually was guilty of adultery, but she'll figure, if she can get away with it, I'll do the same thing and take my chances. That was Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, he bases it specifically upon the fact that there's a pasuk. The pasuk says also, and he interprets it that way. So what would be the practical difference between them? So Ikka Benayhu, the Gemara says, there is a difference of opinion of who rosesses, right? A woman who trembles. She's trembling at this point. It says, Isha Rashi. Isha Sha'anu Roimbo. We see that this woman, Shehi rosesses Be'ema Samayim, right? That she's trembling for fear of having to drink the water. But the Einu Moda, but at the same time, she does not confess that she committed adultery. So, Lamanda Omar, if we go according to the opinion of Shelo Yehe Libo Gaspo, in other words, that the second woman, you know, should not become chutzpahdik, so to speak, by seeing the case of the first one, you know, who did not confess. So in that particular case, Zu Anurorishen Libo Gaspo, we can see that the second woman is not going to to feel a sense of encouragement when she sees that the first woman is trembling. Ulamah Delay Dorish Tama Dekro, right? El Gezeres HaKosef. And in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, who is not looking for a reasoning behind the pasuk, but rather who says that the pasuk says this, then in that case, Ein Mashkin Imo Acheres. And in that particular case, if the pasuk says Osa, then you don't give the second one, you know, you cannot give two women at the same time to drink. The second one will not be given at the same time. So now the Gemara wants to know a different question. It says, excuse me. Yeah. The Gemara now asks the following question. It says, for Osesses Mimashkin, so can we force a woman who is trembling to drink from Mayim Hamorim? That's question number one. And then the Gemara says, Beho Einoisim Mitzvot Chavilos Chavilos. Now they bring in a different reason why not, and that is that we have a general principle that you don't do mitzvahs on a wholesale basis. In other words, each mitzvah has to be performed for itself at its own time, and you don't simply combine all kinds of mitzvahs at the same time. We'll take a look at the Rashi and see the examples that he gives for that. Okay? Alright, so first of all, again, for the Rashi, or Osesses Mimashkin, right? In other words, can we force a woman who is trembling to drink the Mayim Hamorim? Imo Acheres. In other words, can we force, you know, and there's another woman with her. Why? Ne'ida in Divo Gaspo, inasmuch as, you know, she is not, obviously, if a woman is trembling, we know that this woman who is trembling is not going to feel encouraged by the virtue of the fact that the other one, refuses to drink the Mayim Hamorim. So, why? Yeah, the Ein Libo Gaspo. So, Iko, Mishumas Yes, Mrs. Chavila. So, for that reason, we have a different reason why we don't have Mashkin, you know, that we do not compel two women, you know, to drink the Mayim Hamorim at the same time. Namely, because we did not make mitzvos chavilos chavilos. Shenira, he says, because then it would give the impression, kimi shehoyu olav lamatsui, that it seems, you know, you would give the impression if you're trying to do two mitzvahs simultaneously, instead of doing each one separately, you give the impression as though it's a burden to you and you want to get rid of it as fast as you can. It's as if you're trying to get rid of the burden that you have upon you as fast as you possibly can. Okay? There are various examples, you know, that they give for doing this. namely that we'll see on the top of the next page, for example, that there are cases where, for example, Torah says that what happens if you have an Eved Ivri? This Eved Ivri says, you know, at the end of 6 years, he says, "Hapti es adoni, es ishti, es monarchy." I don't want my freedom. Okay, so what is the din over there? It says, "V'higishu adonov el v'elohim." Right, you have to bring them to the Beis Din. V'higishu el adelus el anzuzah. Right, and then the rotz adonov is also matzeh. So that the owner has to bore a hole with an awl in his ear. Okay. So they say you can't do it on a wholesale basis by having, let's say, if you have two Avodim Ivriim, you know, who want to remain perpetual slaves of the master. You cannot bring them to the same Beis Din and do a wholesale job, because Einoisim Mitzvah Chavilas Hamilah. The Mitzvah says that this is a procedure that has to be done, but you don't do it on a wholesale basis. There has to be a differentiation. There'll be other examples too. All right. Of course, we have several other principles too that are involved in this. You know, in this was Havilas Havilas. For example, why can't we have two couples marrying at the same time? Right. So this you could say is one example, and the other one, of course, the principle is a modern symptom, the simple, which is you know, one of the major reasons that they give, that each one deserves the simple for himself or for herself, and not to share it simultaneously with somebody else. Okay. Yeah, the example is given over here. Whoops. Okay. Hitnan, right, then it says, yes. We learned, it says, Ein mashkin shtei sotis kiyachas, right, that we do not, this is one case, you know, to force the two sotis to bring to my morim at simultaneously, same time. The Ein matarin shtei mitzorayin kiyachas. Likewise, if you have a mitzvah, you have a person who is suffering from leprosy, and he has to be, you know, the time has come for the kohen to say that he's, you know, he no longer has the leprosy, and he can now become clean by, of course, going through the ritual of tahara. So you don't do two of them at the same time. The Ein Rotzin Shtei Avonim Kiyachas, as I already mentioned what that means, that, you know, you don't have two Avonim Ivrim who want to remain perpetual slaves, they're not allowed to bore their ears at the same time. The Ein Orphin Shtei Agolos Kiyachas, and of course, this is a reference to the arch of the Egla Rufa, where, as we know, if you know, they find a corpse, somebody who's been murdered, and they have to measure to find out where is the nearest town and so on, and then of course we know that the elders of the town have to come, and then they have to take an egla rufo, that is an eglo, you know, a heifer that has never been yoked, never did any work, and so on and so forth, and then they have to break the neck. And they have to say, Yodeinu Leshokus Hado Mazed, Yodeinu Ro'oh. The elders have to say, our hands did not shed this blood, nor do our eyes see it, and so on. This is in order that the people should have kapora, that they should have atonement, you know, for the fact that somebody committed a murder within their own area. So what if you find two at the same time? So the point is, you know, that you can't have, you know, two eglos arufos simultaneously.
What does it mean, simultaneously? Can it still be the same day, or does it have to be the next day?
Okay.
What's the definition of simultaneous?
All right, simultaneous means at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, if you put it off, you know, one day, one the next day, that would be all right.
Yeah, but the question is, after all, this question of the possibly the whole best thing to have to be there. I mean, that's a whole inconvenience.
It's an inconvenience, but nevertheless, murder is an inconvenient action. That's on the socket. It's the way it is. You know. Okay. The fish ain't nice and it's with Havilas Havilas, right? This is the basic principle. Alright. Omar Abaye. So Abaye said, the Tamer of Kano, not the same as Rav Kano said. He says, Lokasha. he says is that this does not represent a difficulty. Why? Kan b'klein echon, kan b'shnei kohanim. He says the same kohen cannot administer the mayim ha'ma'orim to two sotas simultaneously. But if you have two different kohanim, so one goes to one kohen takes care of one woman, the other kohen takes care of a different woman. So in that case, you're not violating the principle of the inosin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. All right. Kohen Echon says Rashi, yes, chavilas, the Kohen Echon says havdei chavilas, right. The chen, the gabi abodin, the best, the nechon, the bodin echon. The same would be true if you have, you know, one bezdin, the same master, and you have two guys, you know, who say that they want to remain abodin. So you can't do it that way. But if you do it separately, then in that case, it's all right. All right. Now, Tomer Rabbanan, yes, V'akoyin eches v'kodecha. Okay. Mishnah says, if you remember, that the Kohen seizes her garment, and then he rips it, right? So Tomer Rabbanan, Rabbi has learned that Uforas Rosh HaYisha, you know, the Pasuk says that he is to disarray the head of the woman. Of course, what exactly is the meaning of the word pora? So I gave it one translation. But how is it carried out? So the usual explanation is actually that it means that, you know, the woman has her head covered, so what does he do? He removes the head covering that she has. Now, Ein li ela roisha. So, this is the reasoning now. It says, you say that it's only her head that he uncovers? Gufo minayin. How do we know also that he uncovers her body? As we said before, you know, he rips the upper part of her garment. So Talmud Lema, the reasoning is ha isha. In other words, the word ha isha is, as we would say, like meyuteris. In other words, it's a little it's unnecessary to say it, it's extra. And it's excellent in order to teach us something. What could the pasuk have said? It could simply say, "Ufora es rosha," right? That he is to uncover her head. So why does it say it's rosha isha? Because it's already mentioned the fact that he's doing it to the woman before. So why do they have to mention again her isha? So it says, "In Cain, ma tamud lema for es rosha," right? So he says, well, first of all, the first learning is tamud lema her isha. In other words, not just the hair, but also the body, as we've already said. So, im kain, ma talmud lema for es roisho. So, if that's the case, so what do we learn if it says, you know, that he is to disarray her head? So the answer is, malami shakein seser esara. It's not just enough for the kohen to simply remove a covering from the head, but he also has to actually disarray her hair. Rashi? Okay, Ufora, says Rashi. V'chol mokim lo shinu lihu. Says, wherever we find the word Ufora, it usually means to uncover. Okay? So, gufo minayim, how do we know? Kiditnam negaleis libo, as the Mishnah says that he literally he uncovers her heart, but of course it means he exposes her chest. So, the answer is, so serisara. In other words, is marba begiluyo shesose kliyosa. In other words, he does more than simply uncovering a hair, but he also has to disarray, her hair setting. Okay, kliya is literally it's you know how she weaves together her hair, all right, her headdress. Okay. Braids and so on. Right, exactly. Only my voice is tonight.
I hope the column goes in the closet.
Okay. So, Rabbi Yehuda Emer Boya Libo Noah, if you remember, the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if she had a beautiful figure, then in that case, he says, the Kohen does not reveal her breast. Okay. So the main law, are we to say that the Rabbi Yehuda chayish lehihura, that Rabbi Yehuda is afraid that, you know, the sight of this woman being exposed will cause people to get evil thoughts, become excited, right? Excited, you know, sexually and so on. Verabbanon lo chayish, and we have to say that the rabbis were not concerned about this. In other words, then why should the rabbi say that this is the procedure? Yes. And Rabbi Yehuda says that if she is beautiful, then no. Well, we have another case where just the opposite is to be found. Namely, that the Rabbanan were not concerned. Excuse me, the Rabbanan were concerned, and Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned. Okay? In other words, the question is, how consistent are the two points of view? After all, you're the owner of the machine, so therefore.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So he says,
rub something, but throw it's his fault.
Right. So what is the case where it's just the opposite of the opinion, you know, the difference between the rabbis and Rabbi Yehuda, as far as whether an action is going to lead to immodest thoughts or not? So he says, the Tanya, we learn the story of Sanhedrin, where they speak about, you know, at the time when the person is to be executed. Okay? So there it says, so ish, in the case of a man who is to be executed, then the chasin osei perek echod milafono, then they cover him with a garment, with one single garment, in the front. In other words, there is no garment in the rear of this person. The Oisha, but in the case of a woman, Shnei Prokim, they require two garments. Echod milfon eho, the echod milachareho, one before her and one behind her. Why? If they shekulo erbo, because of the fact, you know, that in all of them, in all cases, and it's kula erba. In other words, a woman, whether it's front or back exposure, but at any rate, you know, it excites, you know, thoughts. Okay? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Chachamim haimrin, but the sages say, ha'ish niskal orum, the innovation niskal is aruma. A man is to be stoned, not wearing any garment, and a woman, if she is to be stoned, she is, she's not allowed to be, you know, stoned naked, okay? So, in this particular case, we see that, again, that we could say, you know, that Rabbi Yehuda is, you know, he's a chayish lehihura, the Rabbanan are not, so, but even the Rabbanan say that the woman is also niskela saruma, right? So that therefore she too has to be clothed at the time when she is executed. So Omar Rabba, so Rabba said, Hochatabo, this is the reason over here. In other words, in the case of the Sota, my Shemotesim in Besdin Zakais, it may be that, you know, when she leaves the Besdin and she is innocent, right, the Yizgorubo Pirchei Kahuna, then if the young priest see this woman, the Sota in other words, who has been vindicated, right, as being Zakois, she drank the Mayim HaMa'orim and, you know, nothing happened to her, and it was proof, as we said before, you know, that she had not sinned, right? But don't forget that she has been exposed. Okay? So therefore, even though, you know, she is innocent, but nevertheless, the young priests maybe, see, they'll get excited when they see, you know, what a beautiful woman she is. Awesome. But in the case of the woman, you know, who is being, you know, put to death through skilla, he says, over there. So, it says over here mistalka, but it's the wrong one. It's, you see, it should be mistakla. In other words, she is being stoned. And if she's being stoned, so in that particular case, they'll certainly not get any yetzer hara, you know, seeing happening to that. So, the chi seymor, osin is karuya bachun aisa. And if we say, all right, they'll see, you know, the woman, let's say, of course, as we said before, you know, that she has to be clothed, but nonetheless, let's say, assuming, you know, that they did not insist that she be clothed, and they see that she is being stoned. So from her, they're not going to get the Yisahara as far as she is concerned, but having seen an exposed body, so Osler is Gerui Bakunai, so in other words, they'll get evil thoughts about another woman. Well, we know sex could be a pretty powerful stimulus, right? So Omar Roba, so Roba said, Gemire, we have a tradition, he says. What's the tradition? The Ein Yetzer Hara Sholeit Ela B'Mashin Avaros. That the Yetzer Hara has dominion only when you actually see it in front of you. But, you know, to think, for example, about Marilyn Monroe, when you see a woman being stoned or something like that, this is not going to happen, according to him. Okay? Omar Rava. So Rava says, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Kashi, the Rabbi Nad, the Rabbi Le Kashi. Says, the way I read it, he says, there is a Kashi between Rabbi Yehuda's statement when it came to the Sota, right? Mm-hmm. As compared to what he says when the woman is, being stoned to death. But the Rabbani says they're consistent with the point of view. Elam or Rava, but Rava said, wait a minute, actually Rabbi Yehuda is being consistent too. Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, lo kashya, kedushan in. As we've already learned, there is no contradiction because we've already explained the reason why. That we don't want, you know, to excite the Yetzer Hara, okay? And the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, namale kashya, says no kashya between them. So, the question is, if that's the case, then why do we have to have this revelation right now? It's revealing. So he says, Hochatamor, in the case of the Sota, the reason is, my, what is it? It's Mishum v'nivatsru kol hanoshim. We already quoted the pasuk in the Mishnah, the pasuk that came from Cheskel, which says that if the women see, you know, the one who is being disgraced, then they in turn, you know, will get musar, as we would say. In other words, they'll understand that they should avoid, you know, doing anything along the same lines. Okay? All right. Rashi? Okay. Yeah. Chayesh Lahirgur, he says, Shalom Yitnu, Orion is Demon Bog. In other words, those who are, you know, the spectators, those who see what's happening, you know, that they shouldn't get excited because of what's happening over there when they see what's happening to her. So so we learned, Ish Bechasanoi Sarikashaniska. With what? With Perek Echol. In other words, what's Perek Echol? He says, Katsichas Beged Bilfolet. They put a cloth in front of him in order to cover this front. Vishar Kol Gufei. Orem, and the rest of his body is naked, all right. But with a woman, as we learned, they have to have perek milchadech v'achareha, right? She has to be covered both front and rear. Why? Shekulo erba, achareha, right? Ufaneha. Shebeis ha'boishes, he says, nirmishtayetzad, because, you know, when you see a woman, you can get a picture, you know, of her anatomy from either direction. No, Mela. Okay. I think I don't have to elaborate on that. No. All right. So it says, Hocha hayim tamo, the Rabbi Yehuda, Shem and Teisim, and Bezdin, Zakoyz. Right. Sheta hora, Timotze, she will be found, you know, to be innocent. V'lo yivdekuho hamayim. Right. and the water will not prove her, you know, guilty. So the Yizkeru Bo, then what will happen? Then, you know, the whenever these young Kahanim, you know, they'll see, they're getting Sahara, whenever they see this woman, okay? The Yerodkim Achareha Koyaneva, and they'll be chasing after her, even afterwards. Yeah. I don't know why they consider these young Kahanim as being pretty wild characters or something.
They were very young.
Huh?
They were very young.
They were young.
Very young.
Right. So, Holcha, Hainatam, Mod Rabbi Huda, Shemadez, and Bezim, yeah, we said that already. All right. Pirchei Kohuna says, why are they called Pirchei Kohuna? He says, Nokat al Shem Shoyim Etzuim Ba Zori Yosem Mishavah. Question is, why does he mention Pirchei Kohuna? He could have mentioned any man. So why these people? He says, because these young Kohanim, they were always around over there in the temple courtyard, and so therefore, you know, then let's see whatever is going on over there. That's the reason why. Whereas the average person is not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash of all times, okay? Right. The fact that they saw the woman who is naked, then Mizgora Yisron Benoshim Achilles. Then, as we said, you know, even if they see that the woman was Nisko, and she was, you know, stoned, but nevertheless, they'll be excited in their thoughts about with other women as well. Okay. Gemirei. Yeah. So he says, what is Gemiri? Gemiri means that we have a tradition. Masoris biyodi, I have a tradition in my hand, literally mirabosai. In other words, I have a tradition, my teachers taught me the following. What? That, you know, you only get Yetzirah if you see it, but you don't get Yetzirah if you can't see you know, right with the realm of eyes. As he said, any Yetzirah, Sherlit, Elabimashin of Rose. Okay. And then he says, the Rabbanad Rabban Lekasha, but you need to say that they don't also have a disagreement. The Shanisa Rabbi Yehuda, Belochai Shanisha Shanisha Rabbanan. So, what did we say? The Rabban Rabban Lekasha, right? Hai in the Tamil, right? He says, Hocha Tamil Mai, he says, Amin Rabbanan. Why? Why do we say, you know, that the Rabbanan say that in the case of the Sota, she should be uncovered, you know, her chest has to be revealed, whereas in the case of the Diskelis, not? So the answer is, Shemitzvah Levayisha, because the procedure of the Sota that we're discussing, you know, that the kind does this to her, and, you know, that they try to get her to confess so that she doesn't have to drink the Mayim Olor and so on, but it's mitzvah levayisha, va'afilu hi tahora, even if she is actually innocent. But why? Not because of her, but mishum nivatsru kol anoshim. It's in order that the other women should also take heed and not be tempted to do anything as what she has been accused of doing. Right? Shelo yaviu atzman b'yidei chashat, that they should not bring themselves into a situation where they will fall under suspicion. The tiyenets nuans, so that the women will be modest in their behavior. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Hasan, it says, in the case of the woman who is niskeles, ein mechoy yisu godol mizeh. There is no greater moral lesson than this. I mean, if you see a woman who is, you know, punished with capital punishment, certainly there is nothing more frightening, you know, than that. Awesome chain, the skeleton for Yusuf Golem is, as you can see, a Rashi is explaining this over there. Other women will certainly, you know, avoid having to do the same thing that she did. The Chi say more, and if you say, Lavid Botarte, why don't we, let's say, do both things? In other words, disgrace the woman who is being the skeleton, and also at the same time, you know, punish her with the death penalty. In other words, give her two punishments. Some are Rab Nachman of a Rabba Barabuha. So Rab Nachman said in the name of Rabba Barabuha, he says, oh my God, the Pasuk says, this is a very famous interpretation of the Pasuk, V'yahavto l'reyacha kamecha. You should love the other person as you love yourself. Now, of course, I mean, we all know this, and everything else. But one of the interesting interpretations that we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he's quoting it over here, is what? It's Berar lo misa yofa. Choose for him a death which is dignified. In other words, you want to, in addition to the fact that this person has to be punished with capital punishment, right? And you want to disgrace that person yet by shaming, you know. This is already too much. Okay. So, Leim or the Rab Nachman Tanoihi, are we to say that this statement that Rav Nachman, you know, just made, Yadrecha Kamecha, and so on, he says, this is the Machlekes of Tanoim, he says, no. The Chuli Alma is Lehu, the Rab Nachman. Everybody's in agreement with this statement that was made. But the Hocha Miplege, so what is the Machlekes over here in our case? He says, Marasava Bizyone Odifle, the famous Tzara, the Gufe. Says in the case of a person who is being put to death, okay, so he says that the shame that that person is undergoing is even stronger than the actual physical pain which he is feeling. For Masovar and the other authority feels that Tzara de Gufe odiflate fame visione, that the physical pain that the person feels is more important even than the shame that is being inflicted. All right. Now, we have to go back to Rashi and see at this particular point, what is he talking about? Okay? It says, Mar sova bizyone odifle, right? It says, Choshev al ha'odom, right? It says, it's more important to a person to avoid what? To avoid the shame. That he can he can't take it as much as he can take physical pain. It says, Choshvalodim, the sonui lay, the fame and tzara, is the way I have to read that. I mean, it looks like shonui, but I have to take it as sonui. The sonui lay, the fame and tzara. And it's more hateful to him than even the physical pain, right, the tzara megufe. So, Hilkoch, if that's the case, miso yopa, he loves. In the case of, you know, what is a, you know, a dignified death for him is litzokel lovush. It would be to be stoned wearing a gown. Remember we said that there was a difference in machlekes. One says that he wears a gown, and the other one says it's niskal ora. All right? So this is what he's trying to explain. He says that inasmuch as he wants to retain as much dignity as he can at the moment that he's being put to death, so in that case he wants to be stoned lovish, wearing a garment. The Yafal Pi Shetzara Nimshach, and this is true even though he's going to suffer pain for a longer period of time, because, you know, at first the garment will protect him a little bit, you know, from an immediate death. Shainim and Mahir Lamus will prevent him, you know, from dying as quickly as he possibly could. The Lo the Sokel or Rum is possible. He prefers that than to be stoned naked and be disgraced. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda figures just the opposite. Says Saro the Gufa Odif, the physical pain is worse to him, right? So Vizuhi Misayopo, this then means a dignified death to him, Yopolo, Misokilorum, if he will be stoned naked, because in other words his death will come more quickly. The Yapal Pisham is Baza, even though it'll, you know, he is disgraced by virtue of the fact that he is Orum, that he's naked, right? The Lo Yisokil Bilbushe, and he will not be stoned wearing a garment. The Yimshach Tzaro, but he wants to you know, to welcome death as quickly as possible, so that the shame is only secondary to him.
Isn't he partially stunned or quasi-stunned before the entrance theater?
Well,
something,
yeah, that's true, that they would give them wine to drink.
Something like this, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. The Gemara says that in Sanhedrin, yeah. It's in order to...
So put them out in the
right, they shouldn't suffer so much. This is correct, yeah. It's based on the pasuk, you know, that, again, you know. I'm having so much trouble with my voice tonight, I don't know. Okay, so... Pardon me?
Which is the one
I'm sorry, Ron, I didn't hear.
Which of the
death,
they throw them off the ladder?
I think it's before Skeela, something
Skeela,
like
that. Right.
Before Skeela.
Skeela is performed, they put him on a high platform, okay? And then they knock him down from there. They throw him down from there. And
then they expect
to
pretty
right,
much take
care
of
him.
Is
there
some reason he's really supposed to be basically dead at that point?
Not necessarily.
If you hang somebody, they're not immediately dead.
Right.
But it's supposed to sort of make him, what do I call it?
Normally,
like
you
stun
somebody. I mean, because, you know, that they read the methods of execution, that they would put him into a dung heap or something like that. And so it's obviously. It's hard to imagine, you know, what the Misa Yofa is in this particular case. But we understand, I mean, that still, that they feel that even a person who is to be executed deserves a certain amount of dignity. But as we see from here, you know, the question is, which is more important to the person who is being executed? Is it the
pain?
Disgrace of having been, you know, to be naked before people? Or is it, you know, the fact, you know, that he would rather have his death occur as quickly as possible and be spared whatever suffering is entailed in the process?
Shame.
Yeah. Well,
people don't feel that well either, because the angel was supposed to be the first ones.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. And then he says, "Bahana isle b'zion tve shehi arumo ad libo." Right. In other words, in the case of the woman, you know, who is I think that belongs a little bit further down. All right. Yeah, belongs a little bit further. Okay. All right, so that the Mishnah says that Hoyasom Mechusel Avodim, if she was clothed in white garments, so what do? They put her on dark garments. If she was clothed in dark garments, then they put her on white garments, right? This is what the Mishnah says. So Tana, there's a Gemara that says, in Boyushakoyrim Noyim Lo, what happens if the dark garments that they were supposed to put on her make her even look more attractive? She looks good in black, right?
Oh,
why? Then in that particular case, they look for some ugly clothing for her. Okay. Again, all this is part of the process, obviously, you know, that she should not look. You know, that she should feel ashamed. All right. And then the Mishnah said, if you remember, and so on and so forth, you know, all kinds of jewelry, necklaces, rings, etc., etc. Then in that case, what? They have to remove it, right? It says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Hashta Nevulim Nevulah. After all, she is supposed to be, you know, like disgraced with the circumstances. So he says, Anime boy. So, nevertheless, it has to be mentioned. Why? Mahu the same one. What if you say Bahana Isla Bisayun Tfe? What if you say that you know, that she feels even more shame by wearing her jewelry? Kida Amre Yunshe, as people say, Shaliach altil betziyeh misonei. The shaliach over here has nothing to do with the shaliach.
No.
I mean, normally when we see the word shaliach, what do we need to think about? We think that the word shaliach, you know, is somebody who sends a messenger, or you delegate somebody, you know, the authority to go and act in your behalf, right? That's a shaliach.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is a verb. It's a passive form, a passive adjective. Shaliach means loosened, artil, naked, the sea in the Sunday. And nevertheless, he's still wearing shoes. In other words, not wearing anything but what? But a pair of shoes. So kamash malon, this is the reason why we learned we have to take off the jewelry too. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi to try to understand that a little bit better. Okay? We said, Dahani Isla Bezoidfe. You see that in the Rashi, it says, Shehi Arumo Adliba. Here she is standing with her breast exposed, right? Verosha Perua. And at the same time, her hair is uncovered and disarranged, as we've already said a few minutes before. The Yitain Aleho Shite Zon. And, you know, she's going to be wearing all kinds of gold jewelry at the same time. Genai hula. It's disgraceful to her. It puts her into a ridiculous situation. Sh'derech b'nei Odom nisleitzeis b'odom orum u'minolo b'raglo. Because he says people joke about a person who is bare except for the fact that he's wearing shoes. The Amrinan, and we say, and there's, you know, this is obviously, it's, we would say it's like a proverb that, you know, that they used in the Babylonia, Shaliach Atil Vesir Masone, right? Shaliach means mufshat, in other words, bear, right? Ketem Tamer Geminon, as we translate the word of poshat, you know, when the Torah says poshat es pegoda, for example, he used to take off his garments, right? The lavash begodim acher, you know, like the Kohen has to do that at various stages in the avoda, right? Yeah. So in this case, it says that the targum for poshat is the yishlach. So in other words, from this we know that here it means, you know, bare, stripped bare, right? And artil is another word which means oral, okay? It means naked. Okay, so in Aramaic, in other words, this is obviously a statement that, you know, imagine a person is completely unclothed except that he's wearing shoes. It's ridiculous. So the same thing. Look at her. She's wearing jewelry at the same time, you know, that she's stripped bare, you know, with her hair exposed and so on and so on. So make even greater gnai. So that's why they remove it, in order to make sure that at least she's spared that much. Okay. And then it's written, the achakach may be chevel, right? And after that, they bring, if you remember, a chevel mitzri, it says, right? Which, the different explanations, what they mean by chevel mitzri. Okay. So, bo minei Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Huna. So, Rabbi Abba asked Rabbi Huna, he says, chevel ha-mitzri mahu, she'aki b'sveita, right? How about this Chevel HaMitzri? Is it absolutely obligatory that the Sota has to have it, you know, in order to, remember we said that they tie it around in order to keep a garment on her body, okay? But what kind of a Chevel Mitzri is it? If we would take the word Mitzri as being Egyptian, so maybe it's a kind of a rope that came from Egypt or something like that. But if you remember, Rashi gave a different interpretation. He said that Mitzri means that it comes from the Netzarim. In other words, it comes from the rough fiber of the date palm, okay, the palm tree. So in other words, it's a rub, you know, like today they use jute, let's say, or hemp or something, you know, to make ropes, okay? So the same thing, this would be made, you know, similar rough fibers and so on. So the question is it absolutely necessary for, you know, this type of a rope to be used? What if you didn't have this kind of a rope available? What if, let's say, you had only a string available? You understand? This is what the question is going to be. Okay? So, it says, he asked him, all right, Hevel Mitzri, right? Bahu Sheyaki Beseda, right? Should we say that it is absolutely indispensable in the case of the, you know, this procedure with the Sota? Or can we say that it's not absolutely indispensable? Mishum Shalei Yishabtu Begodeha, Neoleha, right? Neoleha. He says, what is the reason why they have it? So the answer is so that her garments should not fall from her, right? Uvitzilzult Koton Name Sake. And are we to say then that by just putting a string or a ribbon or something like that that will do the job of holding it up, this would also be sufficient? Oh, Dilmore, are we to say perhaps Mishum de Omamar, because one of the rabbis gave a marshal, he said that he, Chagoloi Vitzilzul, she wore a beautiful band, a girdle or something like that around herself, in other words to make herself attractive, you know, to the lover. So the Fichok, for that reason, Kohen may be Kevel Mitzri. That's why the Kohen brings this rough kind of a rope, the Koshel Olam Alamitadeha, and he ties it above, you know, her breast, so in order that the garment shouldn't fall down, right? Okay. Is it, you know, not the archive, or is it the archive, right? Is it indispensable, this heaven mitzvah? So, Omalei, so he said to him, Sidi Tuho. You learned it already. It says, V'yacha kach, maybe heaven ha mitzvah, because you're the moment of deho, today shall you shun to book deho, be oleho. The reason is quite clear. The reason is, you know, that he ties it above her breast in order that her garments should not fall from her. So in other words, what? In other words, anything that will prevent a garment from falling off is okay. So it does not have to be necessarily only a kevel habit. Nazeb like the din. Okay. The chol haaretz in the race boy yireh. All right. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah concludes by saying, whoever wants to look at her, you know, can look, right? So he says, how good for Kasha? He says, that statement in itself is already, like, contradictory. Why? He says, Amrit, you have said, call her to the race, bo, roya. Right, whoever wants to look at her can do so, right? So, Alma, if that's the case, leish no gavri, leish no noshi. So it makes no difference whether it's men or women. In other words, men and women, they could all take a look and see what's going on over there at the ceremony. V'hodatani, and then another time you taught the following. It says, Kol ha-noshim mutoris l'roisa. All the women are permitted to see her. Okay. So, noshim in, ha-noshim lo. So from this we ought to conclude when it says kol ha-noshim, it means women, yes, but men, no. So obviously there's a contradiction. You mean that men can watch, or is to be only women. Ladies can watch, right? So Omar Abaye. So Abaye said, Targuma says, explain, a no shim. So what does it mean, a no shim? So I have to tell you, the word that is the particle a in Aramaic sometimes is the same as the Hebrew word al. In other words, explain it to mean about noshim. You understand? Not men, but about noshim. In other words, it's the women who have to come and watch. Okay? So Amalei Rova, so Rova said to him, but it's to Abaye who translated it that way, right? He says, oh, kol ha-rotzeh l'roeis bo roeh, katoni. Doesn't it say anybody who wants to see her can see? So Elohim Arava, so Rava says, no, you have to understand, my friend Abaye, it's as follows. It says, Kol Horitza Nireis Baroa, right? Whoever wants to see her can see. Laishna Gavre, Laishna Noshik, right? Makes no difference whether it's men or women. But the Noshim Chayovos Nireisa, in the case of the women, they have an obligation to see what's happening to her. Shinemar, as the Pasuk said before, the Nivasru Kol HaNoshim, right? Then all the women will take heed, will take Musa, in other words, from what they've seen. The Laisa Senor Kizimas Ten. And they will not do as in accordance with your movements. Okay? Alright, let's just finish up the Rashi over here. She put on a beautiful girdle or a ribbon or something, right? The historians before know, so that she could appear beautiful in his presence. And then he says, Tziltzul, he says, Bendel the laws. Naturally, we know what our Bendel is. The only thing is, Bendel is good Yiddish. Rashi didn't speak Yiddish, but the answer is that it probably came from the French word bond, B-A-N-D-E, which also means the same thing, and bondi, you know, would be like a little band around. Okay. The Nituha says, look, it's already been explained. The Ikar Habu'a So, Eino Elekidei Shalei Shantum, that the basic reason why they bring this string is that, you know, the garment shouldn't fall. And then, of course, the last one that we said, you know, what, is it men or women, right, we should see? So he says, Tirgamoy says, the ratio of the Katonic Aloritza Ad Noshim. So Tirgamoy says, Poresha So, you know, explain it as we said before, according to Abaye, concerning women. And of course, what Rava says, that while men and women can see what's happening, but nevertheless the women have an obligation, whereas the men do not have that obligation. Alright, we'll do a little bit more. A very famous Mishnah is coming up right now. That was the first part of it. The Nido Sha'adam Noidate Bo Noded in Lo. This is what we call measure for measure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That the way a person measures out to others, so this is the way he in turn is going to be measured. Okay? He koshta satsmo la vera. She decorated herself in order to commit a sin, so amokom nivra. So, therefore, the Torah, you know, the Hashem, decided that she should be disgraced. He gilsa satsmo la vera. She, you know, covered herself, you know, in order to commit a sin, so amokim gila aleha, right? So therefore the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, decreed that she should become also uncovered. The yerech is chila ba'adera, the chila, the achakach ha-betin, and, you know, in committing the sin of adultery, she started first with the thigh and then afterwards, you know, with the literally with the stomach, but of course we know what it means. So l'tichach, for that reason, tilke hayorech tichila, then for that reason let the thigh first be punished, v'achakach habetn. V'sharor kal aguf leipolat, but the rest of the body also is not going to escape. In other words, one starts with one, continues with the other, but the rest of the body too will suffer. Okay, Mishnah, Yorech, Hizchil, Bavir, Tekil, right. Okay, it says, Bederech Tashmish, it says, when you have intercourse, Yorech, Nehenet, Tekil, first the thigh gets pleasure, the Kirib Basar, by virtue of the flesh, you know, getting close, you know, one to another. So the Tichach, Tilke, Yorech, Tekil. So that's the reason why the thigh should first suffer punishment, the Kalel Esav. God will cause your thigh to fall and your belly to swell. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Afal gav shenido betela b'nido, afal gav t'nido the tailor of the middle lay bottom. Yeah. Okay. As we see from Rashi, he says, Amagav, the midah, the tailor, right? Even though he says the type of punishment that would be meted out, you know, a capital punishment, you know, we speak about skila, sveta, herik, fenik, and so on, right? He says, nevertheless, in its own way, it has not been abolished. Granted that capital punishment is now abolished. We don't have it anymore. But still, the type, the nature of the punishments that were administered, for capital punishment, namely skula, sveifa, herik, v'chenek, that still is in existence. And we'll see in a second what it means over there. It says, the Omer Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef said, the Chaitani Rabbi Chia, says, v'yoyim shechorem beis ha-mikdash, right, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Afal pi shebotel Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin, you know, no longer functions, right, but Arba Misais lebotel. The whole bottle? But what do you mean? They were never, you know, what shall we say, never abolished, but they have been abolished. So he says, Elodin Arba Misais lebotel. Says the punishment of the Arba Misos, the nature of that has not been abolished. Mishad is Chayev Skilo, for example, let's say a person deserved to be punished with Skilo for, you know, having committed an offense for which Skilo was the punishment. So the Beit Shalalim, how does he pay him off? He says, oh no, fail in Agar, he might fall from the roof, or Chayed or Rasto, or be trampled by a beast. Vishan is chayef sreifa. Let's say the punishment should have been sreifa, right? And in that case, oh, no feel bit leiko. Either he's going to perish in a fire, right? Oh, no chash makisho. Or a serpent will bite him. And of course, you know, the serpent's poison, it will feel, you know, you feel fiery, you know, as the poison enters you. Vishan is chayef harego. Let's say that the punishment should have been, you know, that he should be put to death by the sword, right? So he says, oh, Nimsa the Malchus, either he's going to be punished by being condemned to the royal authority, you know, who had the power to punish him. In other words, let's say you run afoul of the Roman, right, the Roman law or something, and the punishment will be that, you know, they'll administer it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, wait a lot. Or else, you know, highway bandits will come and kill him, okay? Mishan is chayav chanika, and what if he deserved, let's say, strangulation? So in that case, ota ve'ava nohor, either he's going to drown in a river, or meis besronche, or he will die with swanche. Swanche is like what we would call diphtheria. Mm-hmm. You know, diphtheria. Oh. In other words, you know, it'll be strangled, you know. Okay.
Throat swells.
Right. Okay. Right. So Rashi, Bemido Leibotu, right. Shemodadin Lahem, the Obre Abeiro, Bemido Shemeshaivin Bar. In other words, the way they, the sin that they have committed, they will be measured. In other words, the punishment will be meted out to them as they deserve. They will die in accordance with, as we said before, you know, according to the the type of punishment that they would have deserved. Omer Rav Yosef, I Gemara Koma, Omer Rav Yosef, Nami Ba'alma, V'chein Toni, and so on. All of the saying over there that Rav Yosef said, but also in general others have said too. That din Arba Misos says din Shemayim Shehid Mosoid, in other words, the din that heaven imposes upon the punishment, which is similar to it. So as he said, like for example, Nofiel Minagag, Dumyo Ditzkilo, Ditnan, as we learned, Beis Hatzkilo, Rona, right? that, you know, the place of execution where, you know, they did it, Hayoga Bosh, they come us. So it would be two floors high. Okay? And what did they do? So then Echad min ha'edim bo et chapo. One of the witnesses actually has to come and push him. Because, you know, it's written in the Torah, Yad ha'edim hiya boba rishon ala hamiso. So, in other words, the witnesses themselves have to commit the act of execution. Needless to say, I mean, you know, this is all part of the system to make sure that the witnesses don't falsely accuse somebody, because they themselves will be involved in the...
They'll be the executioners.
Chaya the Rasto says, Ari, for example, and a lion will trample him at Ziporno, you know, with his claws. Uma pila lo oretz. And he'll knock him down on the ground. The Gamzer Dabel in his goal, and this is also similar to Tzkilo. Nochash Matzki, Makisho, snake will bite him, he says, for Eres Sofo. And the poison will burn him. And in the case where he deserved the herring, in other words, the sword, so Nimsa la Malchus. Well, Nisa's Malchus, Matizan is Roshi Messiah. What is the punishment that, you know, the capital punishment that the Roman government inflicts? They cut off his hand, you know, with a sword. The Herig no Messiah fool. And this is actually what the punishment of Herig is also. It's not that they run him through with a sword, but actually they decapitated him. This is the way it is, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Or, we said, if he deserved, you know, Chanika, strangulation, then Srunchi. Srunchi says, Boom Malon. Who Chayli Begroyli. So what is Boom Malon? Apparently, it's made up of the word bon, good, and malon, you know, like melody. In other words, you'll have a good melody come. And what is a good melody? The good melody is that it's going, obviously, it's an old French word. It's not used today, okay? But, as I said, the closest thing that, the best translation for srontche would be actually, you know, like diphtheria, okay?
Bite.
Over here, normally it's linshoch. Yeah, but this is a hifil form of the word. In other words, the nun is dropped, right? And the way lahakish, like the letters sometimes get mixed up, okay? But the meaning is the same, it means to bite it, right? Okay, I think we'll stop at this particular point. I've run out of steam. And, okay. So we shall continue next week in Yitzhak Hashem from Daches on the base, bottom of the page over there, last few lines on the page. I think that we can meet in the shul beginning next week again. Okay. Okay. All right. So, I'll start again from the fourth line in the bottom over there, right? It says, Benayin, how do we know? She called Pruta, Pruta, Mr. Revis, the Cheshbon Godol. How do we know that every little penny is going to add up to a great amount, meaning that a little sin here and a little sin there and so on and so forth, will eventually add up to a great Cheshbon, to a great sum? In other words, that you have to be very, very careful. Take a look at the Rashi. Okay, Uminayin Shkol Puta, it's the next to the last statement the Rashi says. The FLP, even though Shalom Nifru Mimenu Par Mishona, Ushniyo, that even though he was not punished the first time or the second time, but Lo Vitru Lo Alehem, it doesn't mean that, you know, that they will be passed over, that they will be, you know, forgiven. Elam Estorfin Lo Osam Lacheshma. But they add up to an amount afterwards. Okay.
So the Rambam say the first two.
Right.
Then they forgive the first three. You go further, they forgive again the first three. You end up with zero.
You're 100% right, Arthur. In other words, this represents one point of view, but the Rambam represents a contrary point of view. That if you sin, and then there, you know, you do tshuva, so you're forgiven for that.
Everything's forgiven.
So you do tshuva, right? I mean, so this is the idea, right? So.
So the Rambam has a different point of view about this. Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm sure he doesn't have a different point of view as this one.
Yeah. So, Talmud Lomar, yes, so this is why the Pasuk says, Achas le'achas limtzei cheshbon, right? That one, add up one to another, and you find a cheshbon, you find, you know, an amount. V'chein motzina b'soto, he says, and likewise we find in the case of the soto, she'b'mido she'modado bo, that just as she acted literally, or, you know, meted out, right, measured out. So moradu lo, so this is, she gets the same punishment. Now she acted, that's what's going to happen to her. He omdo pesach beso, she stood by the door of her house, right, le roo slo, in order to appear enticing unto him. So lefichoch, for that reason, kohen ma'amido shani kader, right, the kohen makes a stand by the gate of Nicanor in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Umare Kloino Lakol. And he shows her disgrace to everyone. Because, you know, obviously this whole process of, you know, taking off her head covering, destroying her hair, ripping her garment in order to expose her chest, and so on, you know, it's minuva, you know, it's disgraceful to her. He parcelos adorin noin al rosho. She put on beautiful scarves on her head, or beautiful kerchiefs on her head, in order to be attractive to him. So the ficha, for that reason, kohen no tel kipo miyal rosha. Right? The kohen takes off the head covering that she has from her head. As a matter of fact, he puts it underneath her feet. In other words, she has to stand upon this head covering. He koshtolo poneho, she decorated her face for him. In other words, she used all kinds of cosmetics in order to enhance the beauty for her lover, right? So lefichu, for that reason, poneho morikos, okay, her face is going to be greenish in color, because of the idea of being greenish. In other places in the Gemara, the idea is, you know, the idea of shame, that shame is expressed by, you know, a green color.
I have a question on the whole thing here.
Yeah.
The general first impression was that she sort of sneaked around her husband, so to say, and did it all in the quiet and nobody would see her.
Right.
And here, the reason the Gemara gives is that she does it all openly, just like the Havdil Lahore. So the reason doesn't jive.
No. But she wasn't doing these things before everybody. She did it only for her lover.
But at the moment, okay, the moment she stands in the door looking for him or whatnot, the show is that it's not the Pesach anymore. It's open.
Yeah, but it's not open to everybody until somebody came along. A couple of guys noticed what she was doing, right? And they told the husband. So then the husband said, "I don't want you ever to speak to this guy, or to be concealed with this guy," and so on and so forth. And then, lo and behold, she defied her husband, and she went, and she acted contrary to what he had told her. And the presence, as we said, of the best, right? Okay, he gave a warning. All right. He, kocheloi neho, she put this blue, you know, eyeshadow on. That was part of the beautification in those days. So, lefichoch, in her boltos, for that reason, her eyes are going to pop out. I don't mean that they'll fall out, but I mean, you know, they'll, they sort of, you know, bulge out of the socket, right? He called her loyesora. She braided her hair for him. So, lefichoch, kohen sosirisara. So, for that reason, the kohen, you know, undoes her hair, right? As we said, you know, he not only takes off the kippah, you know, the head covering, which the scarf or the kerchief that she has on her head, but he also has to disarray her hair as well, if you remember. He harasolo the etzba, she pointed towards him with a finger, you know, kamarain, right? For that reason, her fingernails are going to drop out. He chogar lo b'tziltzul. She girded herself with a tziltzul. It's a word that we had last week, remember. There we translated it sort of like a ribbon or something.
Belt.
A colored belt or a ribbon or something like that. You know, she put it on in order to make herself look attractive. So the fichach, for that reason, Kohen may be chevel ha-misri. For this reason, the Kohen brings this chevel ha-misri, which, as we saw, could either be translated as an Egyptian rope, very coarse in nature, or the other explanation that Rashi gave, that it was made out of like hemp or jute or something, except that, you know, it came from the palm tree, okay? But it's a rough one. So the Kohen brings a chevel misri, and the kosher lo lamal dodeha, and he ties it above her breasts. Of course, as we learned last week, why does he tie it? The answer is, you know, so that the garment doesn't fall, right? Because the garment was ripped, but still, you know, they want to make sure the garment is not going to drop. So that's why. He pushed the lowest yerecha. She spread out for him her thigh, right? So leficha yerecha no fellas, all right? For that reason, her thigh will be the first, you know, to fall, okay? He kibalto al kreso. She welcomed him upon her stomach. I think that we all understand this, right? So the fichok bit not sova. That's the reason why her stomach is going to swell. He hechilasu ma'adone oilon. She fed him all good kinds of food to eat, all kinds of delicacies. So the fichok, for that reason, korbano, the korban that she brings is machal behema. As we said last week, talking about, you know, the mincha that she has to bring, it's made of se'orim, right? It's made out of oats, which normally is not considered food for human beings. It's considered more as a macha behema. Human being is supposed to eat wheat, right? Right. He hishkasul yain mishuboch, the koseis mishubochim. She gave him to drink fine wine in beautiful goblets, right? So leficho koin mashke mayim hamorim b'markeidu shocheres. Therefore, the Kohen is going to make her drink bitter water instead of the wine, right? And in what? In b'markeidu shocheres. Markeidu is a question exactly what it means, but it would seem to be like an earthen cup or something like that. Yeah. Markeidu, as he says, Markeidu says pechusa. In other words, it's not highest quality. It's a low quality. Umeguna shebekoses. Yes, and it's considered right. The worst kind. Okay. He also saw the seser. She acted secretly. So therefore, the yoshe beseser elyon. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who dwells in his high places, right? Some bo'ponim pays special attention to her. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and the pasuk in this pasuk in Iyov, it says, the ein noev shomrod neshef lemor losu shereini ayin, which means the eye of the adulterer waited for the night, saying that way no eye will see me. In other words, you know, I will not be observed in my committing adultery. Dovrache, another interpretation, says he also saw the seiser, right? She acted secretly. So hamokom pirsimor begonui, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, therefore came and you know, made known her actions. You know, so that everybody could know, you know, what she had done. Shenemar, as it is written, Techase Sino b'mashon, Tigaler Oso b'kohol. In other words, Techase Sino b'mashon. If hatred is hidden in darkness, nevertheless, the evil will be revealed openly, will be revealed for everybody. Okay, b'kohol. Umeyachar, So now the Gemara asks, the Me'acha, and since the Dafka Lei Me'achas Le'achas and Noi Cheshbon, right? Since you already have one pasuk which says, add one to one and you find eventually a great amount, so Ki Kol Tzaron Soim Berash Lomali. So what do I need? You know, that other pasuk that we call it Mishayo, which says that even, you know, a small saw, in other words, a small measure, is going to have a loud reaction. In other words, people will learn about it. So he says, L'chemida. The answer is, this is to teach us that, you know, even quantities, right, or as Rashi says, let's take a look over there. He says, L'chemida, he says, She'bemida, she'medit modin lo, ha'peron, me'enache. It's in order to teach us that according to the way we act, so this is how the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to repay you for the sin that you have committed. Measure for measure, yes, exactly what the idea is over there. So he says, "Umiyacha the nafkalei the kikol soyin soyin."
Not only measure for measure, but also degree of measure.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. Yeah. Umiyacha the nafkalei the kikol soyin soyin barash. So okay. So inasmuch as you already derived this teaching, you know, from the Pasuk, Ki Kol Tzaron Soim Berash, so Besaso Bishalcho de Rivenu Lomeli, so what do I need Besaso Bishalcho de Rivenu? So, which would imply, you know, as we said before, for a large amount, but why do we need it for a large amount if we already know from the smaller amount that they're going to buy? So therefore, L'chidirav Chinudu Ba'popo, so this Pasuk gives us another teaching. And what does the Pasuk teach us according to Rav Chinuno Bar Papa? Dama Rav Chinuno Bar Papa, he says, Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Ha'umo Ad She'ash Shilucha. Says that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not going to exact punishment from a nation until the time that it's ready to go down the drain. In other words, at that point, that's when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam punishes them. Shenemar, as it's based upon the pasuk Besasa off. In other words, when the measure is, you know, has been added up, then Bishalcho to Rivenu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will punish it, you know, by literally sending it away. But what he means sending away, it means in other words by bringing it to an end. Okay. This is for a nation, right? In other words, he takes right what Rav Chinuno is saying, in other words, is I have a different application for this, since we already know from other psukim, you know, that how a person behaves, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, is going to be punished. So therefore, I have a different use for this pasuk to apply it to a nation. Okay. This, I guess, would be something analogous to the Hegelian theory, except that Hegel, of course. He was not talking along the lines of Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know. He was talking about the fact that nations are subject to a cyclical history. What do I mean by cyclical? That they flourish, right? They start off small, they flourish, they reach the zenith, so to speak, and then after that they go down the drain, okay? And of course, you know, based upon the fact, Greece and Rome and so on, right.
Pasuk can be applied to what happened with Ephraim.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's from Canaan. The Jews during the Exodus, we're going to celebrate shortly, the sin of, the sages say the sin of Canaan had to be filled up before the
Guru. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, right. Kilo Sholem Avon Homer Ha'amori Adhenor. This is over there about about the it's written over there like Dani Osboritz, if you remember, right? So the question is, why does it say that the Canaanites were in the land at the time when Abraham Avinu was there? So one explanation is, you know, Kilo Shalem Avon Amoriat Heno, that the Amorites were still there because they have not yet completed the amount of time and sins for them to receive the full punishment. All right. But it's obvious. Yeah. Correct.
Alexander.
Look, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave him $10 in order
Alexander
to amend himself.
Paul Dinesh just made a statement. He said that Russia is acting like a second world power. They're not yeah. End up as a second-rate African.
Right. Okay, I mean, we obviously, I mean, the Russian, right, the Russia is no longer the Russian Empire as it was a few years ago. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Aini says, isn't this so? For Omar Robert, didn't Robert say, Shlosho Kosis Vamuris with Mitzrayim Loma? This is in reference, if you remember, the story of Yosef is in prison, right? And then the Sar HaMashkim tells him, you know, about his dream, how he was holding the cup of Pharaoh and he squeezed out grapes into the cup and so on. And then Yosef tells him that he's going to once more bring the cup to Pharaoh. So, in other words, the word kos is mentioned three times in that in connection with that. And, you know, obviously it deals with Egypt. So, Rava says, why do we have three koses talking about Mitzrayim, Loma, right? It says, Achas, Sheshosas Bimei Yosha. It says, one cup is the cup of punishment that it drank, literally, in the days of Moshe. Naturally, I mean, this would be in connection with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Pharaoh was punished, the firstborn, and so on and so forth. Biachas, Sheshosas Bimei Paranecho. And another one, that Egypt drank in the days of Paranecho. Paranecho was one of the pharaohs of Egypt, and he was involved in war with Ashur, okay, or rather with Babylonia.
Babylonia.
And we find that in the end, you know, his idea of Paranecho wanting to go and make war and be able to make Egypt into a bigger nation, this was, you know, it came to naught. So that's the second
one. He doesn't want to get Jude
involved in it. Oh, yeah, yes, he did.
That's what he did.
Unfortunately, you know, Yoshiyahu died as a result of his involvement. Yeah. The Achas, and another cup, Sha'asido Lishtois, Imcha Verseho, the one that it is destined. You know, to drink together with its other neighboring nations. And when, of course, will that be? It'll be in the time of the Mashiach when they'll be punished. All right, let's take a look at the Rashi over here. Gimel Kaisis, he says, B'chalom Meshatzah Mashkim, right? So he says, B'mei Paranecho, what happened over there? So he says, L'vo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bovel, L'hakos Eseretz Mitzrayim. This is the time when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to smite the land of Egypt. And then the last one is that it will drink Imcha Rosehu, he says, the Mosa Mashiach, in the days of the Messiah, right? So Almo, so from this, says Rashi, right, Lo Nitrido B'Makar Rishona, we see that it was not destroyed with the very first blow that was struck against it. In other words, it still remained and so on, exactly, right? The Chitaymoy says, and if you say, Hanach Ozu, the Anach Avinu Ninhu, that if we say that those Egyptians, they're gone, and now you have altogether brand new people living in Egypt, you know, it's like, for example, the Arabs today identify themselves as Egyptians, even though in reality, you know, they came and they conquered the land and, you know, they made it into an Arab country. Okay. But Egypt was not Arab to begin with.
Actually,
right.
It's an Arab country, by religion only.
By religion, ethnically.
Not ethnically, by religion only.
So
the ones who made it Arab by religion were the Turks. Who are not ethnic Arabs neither.
Of course they're not, right. So he says, if we to say is that the Egyptians of today are not the same Egyptians as those, so he says, well, Tanya, we learned, he says, again, this is Gemara, the Sefta, and so he says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said that, Min Yomin Ger HaMitzri Hoyali Chaver, Metamidei Rabbi Akiva. He says, I had a good friend who learned with me, we were among the disciples of Rabbi Akiva, and his name was Minyomin, and he was a Ger Mitzri. He was a convert to Judaism, okay? From Egypt. He was an Egyptian who converted. So, Omer min yomin ger hamitzvi. So min yomin, this, you know, Egyptian convert said, Ani mitzvi rishon, I am a first generation Egyptian. No, so say mitzvi svishayno, and I married also a woman, obviously a convert to Yiddishkeit, right? But, you know, she was also an Egyptian, right? So he says, Asi livni mitzvi shaniyo, I will marry off my son to a second generation Egyptian convert woman, right? Kidei sheyehe ben bini, in order that my grandson will be mutar lavoy bekahol. He will be permitted to marry any Jew. In other words, because we have, right, the third generation, right? You know, Lo Sasayev Mitzri Kigero Yisubiatso, it says over there, you know, do not despise despise an Egyptian because you are a stranger in this land, right? And Bonamashayevoldulahem, Dosh Lishi, children that will be born to them, the third generation, Yobulahem, the Kalashem. Right. Right, yeah. So, this is how we figured it out, okay? So, what is the implication of this? This is the question. The implication of this is that if you're a Mitzri, you're Bleib HaMitzri, right? You're Bleib HaMitzri. At least till the third generation, alright? Even though you're a good Jew and everything else and so on, but from the point of view of being married, being able to marry, you know, any Jewish woman, that you can do.
And that's not only right. The Mitzri.
Yeah,
I mean,
Amoni is the same thing too. Yeah.
Amoni,
not Amoni, no. Moavi.
No,
even then, no.
No, no,
no. Amoni, right. Amon and Moavi, they were excluded. Yeah. Yeah. But, correct. I mean, Amon and Moavi were excluded. There it says, you know, Gamdor Asiri, that even the 10th generation, not allowed. However, there's a Gemara, we find it in Brachas and other places that we'll have reference to pretty soon. The Gemara over there says, you know, that right, that you know, Sancheirav came along, and he mixed up all the umays. Bos Sancheirav bilbel kol umays. It says over there, he came and he mixed up all, so that today all goyim are one big mishmash, and therefore we no longer count generations among the goyim. But any goy who wants to convert can convert.
The problem is not only the goyim mishmash; the Jews are mishmash with the goyim.
Yes, absolutely right. And this, as you can see, there's a great big place for some of that inside. We'll read some of it.
Not only Sancheirav did this, a lot of converts did this.
Yeah.
It's
a
nice
place for some. Yeah. So, yeah, Eli Yitmar, but if we learn, so Hochi Yitmar, learn as follows. Omer Abchinenu Bapapa, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech Acha Shiluchel. It says, all right, country, you say the country will remain. In other words, Egyptians are still around, according to Min Yomin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's still an Egyptian. So we say, all right, then in that case, apply it not to a country, but apply it to a king. In other words, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decides that it's time to punish the king, that's the time, you know, that the king is going to lose his throne. Get out. Okay. So, Eina Kodesh Boch Nifra Nam Belech Ad Shah Shiluchu Shenema Besasa Bishalcha to be vended. Okay. All right. Now, let's take a look for a moment at this Tosfos that we have. It's a great big Tosfos. I'm not going through the entire one, but as we'll see, Tosfos raises a similar question as to whether the nations of today are still the same or whether they're different. All right. So, that's the Tosfos that we have on the left of it. It says, Min Yomin Ger Mitzri, says, Makshim Eperik Tos HaShacha. Sages ask a kasha from the Gemara in Brachas, Tfilas HaShachar, where it says that Omer Aboy Bayom, on that very day, that's the day when Rabban Gamliel was deposed, Bo Bayom, so Omer Yehuda Ger Amoni Lefdehem, Beves HaMidrash, then Yehuda, who was an Ammonite proselyte to Yiddishkeit, stood up before the Neves HaMidrash, Shoyom Alehem, and he said to them, Ma ani lavo b'kohol, can I marry a Jewish woman? Because as I said just a few moments ago, Amon and Moab, there they were the 10th generation. Okay, 10th.
Even the
10th generation. Right, correct. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Osaratam. He said, you are prohibited. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Utaratam, right? So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel said, Ba'alok Siv, Layove Amuni Mayovi, right? They're not allowed to marry Ad Dor Asiri even, right? Lo Yovei Lohem Mikal Hashem. This is what the whole pasuk says. So Rabbi Yehoshua. So Rabbi Yehoshua said, he says, look, he says, B'chi Amon Amov B'mekayman Me'yoshvin. You mean to tell me that today Amon Amov is still living in their lands? Alok for all the Sadcher of Melech Ashur. Didn't Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, come up to Eretz Israel? And not only Eretz Israel, but other countries as well, right? Uvilbel is called Oilam Kulay, right? And he mixed up the entire world. So in Cain, if that's the case, now Agamara, as Tosfos says, then Afilu Min Yomin Hoyemuta Lavo Bekohol. In that case, Min Yomin should have been permitted to marry a Jewish woman immediately, since, you know, if we say Bilbel Kol Ha'umos, then it would mean that includes Egypt as well. It was also mixed up. It's a mixed up population. The old Makshina, and another kasha they ask, Ahi de Tfilas Lashachar, the Omar Perikama de Megillah, this is another question in the first chapter of Megillah, it says, Zil Gabi Amun Umoyav, the Yasre Tuchtahu, Kechama Adudai. It says over there that go and take a look that Amun and Moav are still living in their areas, right? Just as wine is resting, is settling on its own lees. You know, the wine, you know, when you make wine, there on the bottom, you know, comes the lees, right? So the wine lives there very quietly on top of the lees, of course, until you drink it or something like that. So Amun Amov, he says, is still living over there quietly, right? Shneemar, as the pasuk says, Shanan Moav bin Urod. That Moab is, has been living in tranquility since its very early days. So, in other words, there is it's a machlokes. There's a difference of opinion. Are we to say that Egypt, therefore, like Binyamin, in other words, that he goes into the same general category as all the nations who have now been mixed up, and therefore they are muta levo b'kohol? Or are we to say that nations are still living in their place, and therefore whatever restrictions the Torah places upon those nations, they still have to be observed even to this day? So at any rate, mihu hocha, however, here he says, Vishmat in our own Gemara, he says, Lekasha midi. It's not a kasha. Gemosha perish Rashi. What? Dominyomin hoya.